Well, it's good to be back in the pulpit again. I don't think I've preached since the end of July, and when you haven't preached for a while, it's like you're preaching for the first time. It's a strange thing. Well, come with me to the reading which we had, particularly Matthew and chapter 8 and verses 1 to 4. And we read this, when he came down from the mountain. When he came down from the mountain, Jesus has been teaching on the mountain. As we said, it's what's become known as the Sermon on the Mount. And we read this at the end of chapter 7. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. As one who had authority. Now, some students were partying, and suddenly everyone stood still, because there was a figure in the doorway. Who was it? Well, it was a policeman standing in the doorway. Someone had complained about the noise, and the policeman said, "Who's in charge?" And one student rather sheepishly said, "Well, it's my house." Also the policeman, "I'm in charge now, and the noise is to stop." And with that he left, and the party was over. How could he stop the party? Well, because he had authority. He had the uniform, the radio, the backup, and most of all, he had the law behind him. He had authority. So what does it mean here? When Jesus finished his sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. Now, Jesus is not wearing a uniform. As far as they can see, there's no backup. And the scribes were the teachers of the law. So this seems to be a different sort of authority. But just how different? What does it mean when Jesus takes charge? What happens when Jesus takes over? What sort of authority, what sort of power does Jesus exercise? And Matthew tells us by recounting a number of episodes, including this one of the healing of the leper. Matthew chapter 8 and verses 1 to 4. So please have that open in front of you. We're going to refer to it as we go through the message. And we have three points. Point number one, Jesus cleanses the leper. When he came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him, and behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." A leper. Now, today, when you use the word leper or you think of leprosy, we usually think about Hansen's disease. I once preached on the healing of the leper, and there in the front row actually was a leper with Hansen's disease. But here, when it's spoken about in Matthew, indeed in all the scriptures, it's a kind of catch-all for any disfiguring or contagious skin disease. Now, leprosy was to be feared, and lepers were to be avoided. And the Jewish law was very clear. If you had a skin disease, you go to the priest. The priest would examine you to see whether or not this disease was just skin deep, or whether it went further. Now, if it's just skin deep, nothing more than a nasty rash, then there'd be no problem. But if it went further, if there was a breach in the body's defenses, that would be a different matter altogether. And the priest would want to know, had the disease got into the inside? Had the disease entered into the body to defile and to destroy the inner life? If it had, then the priest would pronounce that you were unclean. So Leviticus, I need to turn to it, but Leviticus and chapter 13, we read this, "The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes, and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, 'Unclean, unclean.' He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." Pretty dramatic stuff, isn't it? You can see why leprosy was to be feared. He's to tear his clothes. Why? Because the barrier to his body has been breached. Something has got on, something has gone from the outside into the inside. And he's to cry unclean, because he's contagious. In fact, he's really a dead man walking. And he's to go into exile. He's cut off from his friends, cut off from his family. He's cut off from the community of God's people. He's actually banished into the wilderness. It's a lonely life of exile. And unless he's cured, it'll be a lonely life of exile until he dies. So think about that. Leprosy, it breaks relationships. It creates distance. It cuts people off. It breaks lives. It dehumanizes. It's the unmaking of me. And actually, it's a death sentence. You're helpless. You're hopeless. You're despairing. The only words you have for anyone who comes within earshot is unclean. Stay away. But Jesus is here. The one who has authority is here. And actually, he's within touching distance. So Matthew's asking the question, what is it like when Jesus takes charge? And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Now this leper is breaking all the rules, isn't he? He's to keep at a distance. He's to shout out, unclean. But instead of keeping away, he comes near. And he falls on his knees and he pleads for help. Now, he doesn't doubt Jesus' authority. He calls him Lord. But is the Lord willing? Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. So is Jesus willing? Does he have compassion on this wreck of a man? Verse 3. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. No drugs, no rehab, no scars. A ruined body remade, a ruined life restored. If you like, he's a dead man, isn't he? Back from the dead. I will be clean. How did Jesus do it? Verse 3. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. Can you feel the shudder going through the onlookers? Nobody ever touched a leper. But Jesus does. Why touch him? Why not heal him at arm's length? Why not throw out those words at the power of his word or the word of his power? Isn't that enough? Why touch him? Well, he probably worked it out. The man's an outcast. He's unwanted. Unloved. Everywhere he goes, he's unwelcome. Because he's unclean. No one goes near a leper, lest anyone would touch a leper. So when was the last time this man felt the warmth of human contact? That's why Jesus touches him. Lord, if you will. That's the question. Are you willing? If you will, you can make me clean. And with that touch, Jesus conveys in a way that words cannot just how willing he is to heal this man. The warmth of human touch. Jesus, tender enough to heal a leper, to touch a leper, powerful enough to heal him in an instant. It's a new kind of authority, isn't it? And notice something else. The law said, if you touch an unclean leper, then you yourself are made unclean. But here's something stronger than the law. When Jesus touches the leper, the reverse happens. The leper doesn't make Jesus unclean. Jesus makes the leper clean. It's not the leper who's contagious. It's Jesus' touch that's contagious. And if you like, Jesus' cleanness overwhelms this man's uncleanness. And he makes the unclean clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them. Something stronger than the law, but the law is not broken. It says, Jesus, show yourself to the priest. Because that's the way it worked. If the priest is the one who pronounces you unclean in the first place, the way to get the unclean lifted and to be pronounced clean is to go back to a priest. He'll examine you, and if you are clean, he'll pronounce you clean. The leper's been made clean, he's been cleansed, but what Jesus is saying, it needs to be made official. See, you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them. A proof to who? Well, your friends and family. So that when you return, they will know that your cleanness is official. It's been sanctioned. You really have been made clean. It's not your say-so. It's got the official stamp on it. And therefore they can welcome you with open arms. And verse 4, he's to offer the gift that Moses commanded. So what was that? Well, you can read about it in Leviticus. It's quite a number of things have to be done. But perhaps we can sum it up with two little birds. Two innocent birds. That was the gift he was to offer. The first bird was to be killed under running water. Its blood mingling with the water. And then that blood-water mix was to be sprinkled on the leper seven times. And the second bird wasn't killed, but it was dipped in the blood-water mix of the first bird. And then that bird was released in an open space away from where people lived. Does it sound strange? Well, not if you think about it. It's all a picture, a moving picture. You see, this leper was effectively under a death sentence. But when he was healed, there's a sense in which the death sentence wasn't lifted. The death sentence fell upon another, an innocent, this little bird. And so because the bird dies, the leper lives. That's why the blood of the bird is sprinkled on the leper, to show a life for a life. An innocent dies so that the unclean leper can be pronounced clean. And therefore, with his uncleanness dealt with, the former leper is pronounced clean. So what about the second bird? What did that picture? Well, think of it, the leper had been sent into exile. He wasn't to come near to anyone. He was to live far away from anyone. He was unclean. But if the leper is to be brought back, another must be sent into exile. An innocent must be sent into exile. And if you like, therefore, the second bird was exiled so the leper could come home. If you like, because the bird was washed in the blood and the water, if you like, the leper's defilement has taken wings and been carried away. It's flown away where it can never, ever be found again. And therefore, with his uncleanness carried away, the former leper is pronounced clean and he can come home and be welcomed by friends and family. It's a picture, isn't it? But like all good pictures, it's speaking of bigger things. It's saying that uncleanness can't just be wished away. Someone has to pay. And if not the leper, then an innocent. It's the language of substitution. I'm sure you worked out maybe already where the picture is pointing. So Jesus cleanses the leper. If you like, the dead man now lives. The exile can come home. Wonderful. So point number two. Less comfortable. The Bible says we are lepers. All of us, no exceptions. We are all lepers. Now, why the Bible's fuss about leprosy? Why do we need to know that Jesus cleanses lepers? What's the point? Well, again, think about it. Leprosy, of all the diseases, is a particular disease that defiles, doesn't it? It distances, it dehumanizes, it unmakes me. It's a disease that destroys the inner life. It sends the leper into exile. He's now cut off. And it puts the leper under a death sentence. That's why the Bible uses it. Because it's a signpost. It's pointing to you and me. Why? Well, we've frozen out God. We've gone our own way. We've violated our basic programming as human beings. In fact, we've wrecked everything. And the Bible has a particular word for that. The word is sin. We are sinners. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I'm not what I'm supposed to be. Sin has invaded our world, our lives, our very souls. And it eats away at our humanity. It unmakes me. And ultimately, unchecked, it destroys us all. Now, here's a snapshot of some human sins, okay? Sins of the human race. Paul's writing to the Romans. He says this. He's talking about the nations, talking about you and me. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Now you imagine a village where everyone lived like that. Think of the misery. Think of the misery in that village. Wouldn't you want to move out? Get away? Wouldn't such behavior destroy relationships, destroy lives, destroy that very community? In that situation, wouldn't the first thing, a question you ask is, well, where's the love? Such a place would be a foretaste of hell. And that's the point, you see. That's sin. That's what it is. That's where it leads. Says the Bible, I don't love my neighbor as myself. I don't love God with all my heart. What I try to do, I try to bend the universe to my will by whatever means I can. I am an unclean leper. I am. And I have an infinite capacity to deceive myself. That's what sin brings with it. We're self-deceivers. So what do? We rename our sins. So we talk about failures and weakness and misunderstandings and missteps. Or other things we do. For example, there's a famous leper in the Bible. His name was Naaman. He was a Syrian general. Man of great significance. An action man. But says the Bible, he was a leper. You can read about him in 2 Kings 5. You see, like Naaman, what do? I busy myself making a success of my life, filling my life with achievement, with success, anything to keep me from thinking too hard and too long about what I really am, what I know myself to be, an unclean leper. And a great way to avoid the label sinner is to give it to somebody else. So we love putting the world to rights, don't we? We love sitting in judgment upon others. Then we do the very same things ourselves. So one of the founders of Extinction Rebellion, she admitted that she drives a diesel car. Oh, green sins. Well, one of her colleagues admitted, was quite honest about it, she said, well, we're all hypocrites. And we are, aren't we? We all drive diesel cars. We all know what the right thing is to do, and then don't do it. We all know what is the right thing is to do, and we condemn others for doing it. You say, you shouldn't be doing that, and then I go and do the very same thing myself. Pointing the fingers at others. Driving diesel cars. Not sins against the planet. But sins against the God who made me. The living God. I'm an unclean sinner. I'm a leper. I've got no power to change myself. That's what I am. I've told you this before. A friend of mine goes into prison to tell prisoners about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how do you convince men who are guilty of real significant crimes that they're sinners and they're in need of a saviour? Because as he says, the murderer will say, I'm not a rapist. And the rapist will say, well, I'm not a paedophile. And the paedophile will say, I'm not a murderer. And round they go. And they keep themselves out of the sinner's place by putting somebody else in it. So how do you get past that? What's my friend do? Well, he says something like this. He said, round this table, there are five of us. Imagine on that table a plate. And on that plate, there are four biscuits. Five of us, four biscuits. Five of us, four biscuits. And then he says nothing. He sits there in silence for as long as he needs to. Think about it. Five of us, four biscuits. He says, one by one, the heads go down. And when the last head drops, he says, that's who we are. Greedy, selfish, me first. Bend the universe to my will. I'm a hollow shell of what I should be. Think of it. Five people chasing four biscuits. Because it won't be me who's missing out. I'm not missing out on my biscuit. But you see, five people chasing four biscuits soon becomes all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice, envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness, gossip, slandering, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boasters, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. That's what it becomes. So I'm an unclean leper. I'm under the power of sin. That leper couldn't change himself. I can't change myself. I can never make myself clean. And then this is a chilling thought. And I hope you understand this. For the moment, God will allow you to explore the choices that you make. He will allow you to do that. He'll give you a freedom. He'll give you a breadth of action to explore the choices that you make. Choices that will destroy you. More than that, since God made the world and God made me, God is committed to putting things right. Which means there will be a day when things are put right. It'll be a day of judgment. The day when justice is seen to be done. The day when I discover that my choices have consequences. That my sin, my uncleanness, leads to the ultimate death and exile. Hell itself. That's why, in the same letter, Paul will go on to say, because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. He will render to each one according to his works. For those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury, there will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil. Choices I make as a sinner have consequences. Now God gives me a freedom to make those choices. the day will come when God will hold me to account. A day of judgment. Do you see? I'm an unclean sinner. Stop putting someone else in that box. I'm in that box. You all drive diesel cars, if I can put it like that. We're all hypocrites. I'm an unclean leper. I therefore need to be made clean. I need cleansing. And there's only one who can make me clean, which is why I need the Lord Jesus Christ. And need him before it's too late. So 2 points already. Jesus cleanses the leper. We're all lepers. So let's close with number three. It's very simple, isn't it? It's come to Jesus and be made clean. Come to Jesus for cleansing. Some of you know this very well, don't you? So why haven't you come? Is it because you have no sin? Well, you know that's not true. And the Bible says if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. You know that you're... It's not because of that. Well, is it because you don't believe there's a day of reckoning? Well, again, you believe there's a day of reckoning. You know that Jimmy Savile didn't get away with it. Hitler didn't get away with it. There's a day of reckoning. Anyway, besides, you sit in judgment upon others and you point at them and say, well, look what they did. Look what they said. Look what they did to me. And then you go and do exactly the same to somebody else. So if you condemn them, don't be surprised if there is a day when sinners are condemned. Indeed, condemned already. If you persist in sin, if you refuse to come to Jesus Christ, you're asking for trouble, aren't you? You know that. You know that. You know that. Well, the wonderful thing is that if we avoid Jesus, he didn't avoid us. In fact, he moved heaven and earth to put things right. He came down from heaven to this unclean world. God himself entered time, entered space, became fully man without ceasing to be God. He came down on a rescue mission. And here in this little episode in Matthew, you have a little picture of the great thing that he came to do. Do you remember? Jesus is clean, the leper is unclean. Jesus touches the leper. What happens? The leper is made clean. So where did the uncleanness go? What happened to it? Well, remember those two innocent birds? It's a picture, isn't it? It's a picture of something greater, deeper, more wonderful. It's a picture of a cross, the cross of Jesus Christ. Think of it. That first bird was sentenced to death. It took the leper's place. It was the clean for the unclean, and the bird dies and the leper lives. That's why the leper is sprinkled 7 times with its blood. Because the life of the bird was given so the leper could be cleansed. Well, Jesus is clean. I am unclean. But on that cross, my uncleanness is given to Jesus. The Bible says of Jesus that God made him who knew no sin to be sin. To be all uncleanness. And so he's sentenced to the sinner's death. And so his blood is shed. Do you see? Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. He touches me. And my uncleanness is given to him. And his cleanness is given to me. And so he is condemned for my sins. And by the shedding of his blood, I'm declared clean. Acquitted. That's why the Bible says the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. So Jesus on that cross, he dies. He dies the sinner's death. He, the clean, dies for the unclean by taking their uncleanness on himself and dying that punishment they deserve. So that all the unclean can be forgiven who come to Jesus. And that second bird, sent into exile so the leper can come home, carrying his uncleanness
Well, his uncleanness has taken wings, hasn't it, and flown far away. So a leper can be pronounced clean and welcomed back. But again, on that cross, Jesus carried my sins far away. He carried my defilement into exile, into the land of God's forgetfulness, where it will never, ever be found again. So that I, the sinner, unclean though I am, have been made clean and can come home to God. Come home. I think that's all we ever look for ultimately, is it? A way home where I belong. So I can come home to God. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. The wonderful love of Jesus. He touches the leper. He touches every sinner who comes to him and makes them clean. Just think of that first bird. Little innocent bird. There's a small bird, so it's not a chicken or a hawk or something big. It's just a little bird, like a sparrow. Looking around in fear and distress at the great shapes and shadows that are around it. And it's calling out in distress. But no one's coming to its rescue. Have you ever held a little bird? I think during lockdown I rescued a little bird. It got caught in something. As I held it, as I was untangling it, I could feel its warmth. It was alive. I could feel the beating of its heart. And oh, it was making such a fuss. It was crying out, helpless cries, helpless cries. Well, that bird in Leviticus, it cries out, doesn't it? But no one's coming to save it. There can be no mercy. It must die if the leper is to be pronounced clean. It must die if that leper is to be sprinkled with its blood. And so its little body is broken and its blood is shed. But here on the cross, here is the Son of God, the one true innocent. And to rescue sinners, he will suffer as no one has ever suffered, surrounded by his enemies, baying for his blood. And then the real shapes and shadows and darkness that surround him, those great storm clouds of God's anger, which muster over his head and will discharge their full weight and contents upon him, utterly vulnerable to the wrath of God. And his body is broken. And his blood is shed. It's a baptism of blood and suffering. And so he dies the sinner's death. He drowns in the darkness and chaos of the sinner's death. And no one is coming to his rescue. There can be no mercy. My sins will drag him down to the deepest hell. And he will cry, forsaken. My God, why have you forsaken me? And no one is coming to his rescue. There can be no mercy. He must be condemned. He must die the sinner's death so that every sinner who comes to him is not condemned. Rather cleansed, washed, declared clean, washed in the blood of Jesus. That's what he came to do. No one has ever loved me like that. So what of you? And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Will you come as a leper to Jesus? Instead of putting someone else in the sinner's place and saying, look at them, Why don't you say, look at me? Look at me. Look at what I am. And put yourself in the sinner's place. Will you own up to what you really, really, really are? That you're unclean, that you're guilty. You can't do anything about it. Like the leper, you're helpless. You can't put things right. And so come to the one who puts everything right. You'll have to humble yourself. You'll have to humble yourself, but whoever heard of a leper proud of his leprosy, parading his leprosy? Look at my leprosy. You'll have to humble yourself. You'll have to bow the knee. You'll have to come to the Lord. You'll have to stop pretending that you're clean, that you're okay when you're not. But will you come? Will you call to him? Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Will you pray that tonight? Will you pray it here in your heart? If you do, he will touch you. The warmth, the power, the reality in that touch. And you'll find healing and wholeness and cleansing and forgiveness. You'll find a new beginning. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And a new heart that beats for Jesus. And a new life that's lived for him. And a new destination. No longer hell, but heaven. God's new world. And it'll be a new you. And you'll say, he touched me. He touched me. And I'm new. He did it. I, a filthy, shameful, messed up sinner who ran out of excuses a long time ago. But he touched me. There's a hymn. Has these words. Shackled by a heavy burden, beneath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me. And now I am no longer the same. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened. And now I know he touched me and made me whole. And he's here tonight. It's not a policeman standing in the doorway saying, got you. He's the Lord. He's the Savior. He's the great lover. Oh, if only God would open your eyes to see the great love of Jesus Christ and how even in this message he stands before you with arms open wide. And he stretches out to you nail-pierced hands to touch anyone, you, even you, who comes to him and bows the knee. He's within touching distance tonight. You don't need to be at your best. How can you be? You're a leper. You're unclean. We just got to face up to what we are. So come just as you are. But come with the leper's prayer. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And will you not take courage from Jesus' reply? I will be clean. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this episode that's recorded in Matthew's Gospel. And Lord, we thank you that we find ourselves not merely observers, but Lord, actually caught up in the drama.
We thank you that you don't lie to us. We thank you don't massage our egos. We thank you don't tell us to chase our dreams and think we're something special. But we thank you tell us that we're signally loved. And that you sent your Son into this world not to condemn, but to save, to rescue. Oh, gracious God, we pray that you would come to meet us this night. We feel very fearful. We almost dare not to pray the prayer. But draw us irresistibly into your embrace and touch each one of us, even this night. Because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.